Welcome to the Horsepower Comic Cast, our official episode one, our first post-comic actually released episode. The series is now up on the internet for all to see. If you want to go see it and for some reason have not yet, you can check it out at horsepower.emeraldcoastcomics.net. Or I've been making sure to send our comics to Equestria Daily, so that is, with any luck, a consistent posting for us. But fun abounds. I'm GX, the guy who tells the horses what to say. With us, we have Evil Dr. Reef. He's the guy who puts up with GX.
Oh, all the time.
And Ela, the guy who makes music.
Baking pancakes, making bacon pancakes.
Not that music, though. Not that music. So let's kick things up with what's up with you. Just generally what's going on with our lives. Ela, what's up?
Well, as you said, I have been making music because I have my brand new toy. I won't go into the specifics because I have bored GX and Reef to death with it several times already.
No, you need to bore our listeners, too.
Aside from that, nothing else. Been working on my... because I have so much studying.
Well, tell us what you got. Tell us what you got.
I did see Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, okay. Let me tell you about my new toy. My new toy is a wonderful $900 piece of Swedish electronic music-making equipment. It is a tiny little synthesizer. It is smaller than my laptop keyboard. I can place it right on my keyboard right now. I'm holding it in my hands right now. It's very... very heavy, and it's an all-in-one synthesizer, so it does literally everything I will ever need it to do, ever. It's wonderful.
So, Reef, what is up with you?
Lately, I've been doing some gaming of various sorts. The Formula D League that I've been in a part of and sort of kind of providing the game for has been continuing lately, and I am not doing so well this season, which makes me sad, but... we're only three races in out of 16. I think we're four races in out of 16. But the point is, at some point, hopefully, I will do better. I think it is actually three, coming to think of it. Anyway, hopefully that will go better. The other gaming that we've been doing is the Doctor Who Adventures in Time and Space RPG, which I am the Time Lord of, and doing quite well, if I do say so myself, because I am pretty much myself, and that's always the best way to be when you're, you know, trying to save the universe, is sarcastic and mean and condescending.
Is there any other way to save the universe?
Oh, well, of course there is. The power of friendship and teamwork.
Yeah, like that. But who wants to do that? That's boring.
So, I've been working on websites.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on an update for the Spin Dash, by the way, spindash.com, my other podcast. I enjoy plugging things that are mine. As well as the Horsepower, webmaster for Emerald Coast Shady, I forget which way to pronounce it, but he was very, very, very nice of him to throw us up a temporary page while he's still working on the new revamped Emerald Coast comics. So until the actual layout goes up, I have to do a lot of things manually by creating HTML pages, and boy, do I miss the capacity to use PHP. So, but hey, copying and pasting is working fine so far, and I'm sure it'll be all right. It's just more hassle than WordPress, but he assures me WordPress is not the best option here, and I agree with him because he knows more about this than I do.
You can go along with that.
But I did see Wreck-It Ralph. Eli, I believe you did too.
I did. I enjoyed it very much.
As did I, but I'm almost tempted to say that as much as I loved Wreck-It Ralph, I almost feel that the short that came before it was even better than the movie itself.
Well, okay, it was better in a different way because, first of all, it had a different sort of tone to it, I would say, but also because it had that new animation style that it was supposed to be showing off, and it was fun.
Right, but we won't go into detail about the movie just because we have hosts who have not seen it yet, so we want to make sure we are polite and courteous.
I will be seeing it within the next week or so. I was going to go see it whenever I go down to a convention this weekend with Saber, so that will be on the agenda. And also Skyfall, because I like James Bond.
So I think I'm going to shift things over to what's up with horses and everything that we've been doing that's involved My Little Pony this past week or 2 weeks or whenever. Ela, what's up with horses?
I have been getting so pumped for season 3, and I thought it was going to premiere last weekend, but it's actually going to premiere this weekend. So I was kind of bummed out last weekend, but now I'm just getting more and more excited this weekend.
Oh, so it's coming out while I'm at the convention. Great.
So I'm I'm just rewatching a few of my favorite episodes, mostly Pinkie Pie episodes because Pinkie Pie is my all-time favorite character. But lots of my favorite. I think the last one I watched was Lesson Zero because I love psychotic Twilight breakdowns.
Yeah,
that's to me that's like the benchmark episode for the whole tone of season 2.
And also the show's ability to just come up with a plot that is in no way conventional at all. And like that's one of the things that makes My Little Pony so much fun is that it doesn't have like, you know, just the trademark children's show plot lines of I was gossiping, I was lying, I was cheating, I was stealing. There's a bunch of weird different things, and there's, you know, time travel or something.
Like the correctly explained time travel non-paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they definitely do touch on those themes. It's just that they touch on those themes in a way that is
outlandish.
Different than you would expect any other lower quality cartoon to do.
Like even the very second episode of the show when they started falling into that rhythm of here's the lesson we learned every week, it was that ticket storyline, which is something that happens a lot in real life but is not something that you see happen in a lot of just television at all in general.
It's a nice way that they're able to actually weave moral lessons for children into the storytelling premise, that they can tell a story and they can have a lesson without feeling all as hokey as most shows would come off as.
And referencing Casanova in a children's show that is aimed at 5-year-old girls.
Well, let's give credit. Maybe six, seven, eight.
And also 20-year-old men.
We're watching a show that's aimed at 6-year-old girls.
Oh, come on. It really isn't. If you're going to make a reference to Casanova, then from the very beginning, it really wasn't just at 6-year-old girls.
Yeah, I know.
We enjoy self-defeating ourselves.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, where have you been? You listen to the Spin Dash, right?
Yeah, I'm probably the most self-defeating of all of you.
I don't know. I'm pretty self-defeating. I suck so much.
I may win that contest because I'm a lot more subtle.
So how about you show us that subtleness? Reef, have you been doing anything pony-related last weeks?
Today at Toys R Us, I found a wallet of My Little Pony that had DJ Pwn 3. And
I think I've seen those.
Called a Brony wallet. And I was like, do not want.
I haven't seen those myself, but I have seen them online. No.
And then the other thing is that I have some... This is actually just entirely unrelated to the fact that My Little Pony is something that I watch, but my mom bought us some fruit snacks that happened to be of My Little Pony.
Oh, yeah.
Those ones.
And actually, I was snacking on them today because I like fruit snacks from time to time, and I noticed that while the packaging is Friendship is Magic, the fruit snacks are Generation 3. And I was like, oh, these are kind of scary. I don't know if I want to put these in my body.
Oh, yes. That will come up in another... That will be revisited, we'll say.
Okay.
What the readers do not know at this point, and will soon find out, I've basically written a year's worth of comics already.
Yes, you have.
And most of it's just waiting for the art and the lettering and the publication, but, it's kind of like... I'm worried that in the future, are these things going to be topical? And more importantly, when things are topical, what will my schedule be that I'll be able to fit them in properly? Because I've already set up multi-comic arcs. I've set up even just small storylines. I've set up comics that at one point were a bit more topical, but really aren't so much now.
I bet they'll swing around again.
I'm sure once I reestablish the context, it'll be just as funny, but case in point, things that I've been doing this week, I did exactly what I hoped I would never do, and I started buying the My Little Pony trading cards.
Those exist?
Yes, it's everything I've been getting has primarily just been heading over to Walmart to get the special 6-card tins. And I mean, it's generally speaking, the price is not bad because it's like it's like $12, but you get 6 booster packs, and they sell the booster packs individually for $2 anyway. So I mean, you're getting that, you're getting a tin, and you're getting like a promotional Twilight card as well. So
now this isn't like a trading card game, right?
No, this is just like, hey, look at the cool art on these characters. So they do kind of do interesting things with the cards. I know they have they have cards with the characters, they have cards with the villains, the locations, the pets, the special event things, and most of them are kind like stock art and screen grabs and stuff, but as opposed to a lot of other times in which that kind of stuff is used, I feel like they've at least done a better job sprucing them up a bit. They're at least in a nice context, and I know they even differentiate the different kinds of cards a little bit because characters have the character descriptions and the location cards have special contest codes and the event cards have show trivia and that kind of stuff on it. So, I mean, it seems nice. It's among the better of those kind of cards, and unfortunately, I just have an addictive personality.
Yes, as evidenced by the fact that you have 30, what's the count now of figures?
Let's get into that later.
Okay.
But I will say this, I think I am 2 cards short of a full set of which ones you can get just via the packs, not counting like the promo ones that are ridiculously absurdly expensive and you can only get them by going to various conventions. Mm-hmm. But, once I complete that set, I probably will not pursue it until they decide to release another set, which I will then pursue because I'm sad and pathetic.
The new set of My Little Pony trading cards, this time they're woven out of Tara Strong's hair.
But, the other thing I've been blowing money on was I stopped at Walmart today, and under the suggestion of Shigs, I got the, quote, Pinkie Pie and Friends mini collection, because I apparently don't have enough miniature figures.
Really?
I wasn't planning on getting this at first.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, I seriously wasn't. But then I came in and I saw it, and it feels like for this specific set, although it still contains Pinkie, Rarity, Applejack, and Rainbow Dash, which, I mean, I have, like, 5-6 of each of those now, but it kind of feels like, hey, they finally hit the neon end of their Crayola box.
Yeah.
We have Waterfire, which is turquoise and neon orange.
Oh.
And her mark is a flame and set of waves. And I think primarily that was the one that made me decide, yeah, I kind of do have to have this. Mm-hmm. But the really weird coincidence, before I even saw this, I had in my hand a 3-pack of boosters of the new Pokemon expansion Boundaries Crossed, which, going by the Japanese names, are Freeze Bolt and Cold Flare. So I picked up the Pony Box and I put back the Pokemon cards because as much as I would love to have them both, I have to know my limits.
Yeah, well.
But there's some crazy ones in there. I love the color schemes on these, and I'm not above just picking up more weird miniatures of interesting colors or interesting marks. And as Ela, you had asked, I am currently up to 102 after this.
Wow. That is incredible.
No, it's not.
Your winner.
No, I'm not. Don't encourage me.
Okay.
So I think it's about time we start talking about squares with horses in them. Let's talk about our comics. So this series of Fortnite comics are With Great Power and Black and White and Dash All Over. Let's start with With Great Power. This was the first one that went up, and the second did not get a chance to actually go up by the time we recorded this. It will be up by the time we release this episode, but with great power, Spider Pinky. I was very pleased to see some of the Equestria Daily reactions. No one seemed to say, oh, this is good or this is not good, but they did seem to enjoy the whole Pinky as backstory Spider-Man type thing that I decided, hey, this kind of needs to happen. So,
they basically said, well, this explains everything that Pinky's ever done. So I think you succeeded there.
No kidding.
But the worst response I got from it was just sigh, which if that's the worst I get, I'm pretty happy.
I mean, I don't want to be like down on that person, but I'm not sure which part they were sighing about.
So here's my question. What does if Pinky misses her Uncle Ben, but what did he tell her comes with great responsibility?
Cupcakes.
To quote Zorak, with great power comes nudity.
Well, that's true too.
Yeah, it's just this was literally the first comic I ever wrote. This was the comic that I wrote it and I decided, because from the episode zero of the comic cast, it was kind of like, yeah, I don't know why you're asking me to do this, because I don't think I can do this. Then I wrote this mm-hmm. comic, and it's kind of like that started to turn my mind around. So it's weird that this series is just rich enough that I can make a dumb joke like that, and everyone else on the internet can continue to make comics just based on this franchise. It's 50 episodes long so far, and I mean, it's getting bigger, but still, 50 episodes is not a giant thing. I think it just speaks to its world building as a series.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But anything else to say about With Great Power? It's not really a deep comic compared to some of my comics make a statement. I think the other one makes a bit of a statement. This one really doesn't. This one says, hey, you know, Spider-Man, he does that thing with the sense, and Pinky also has a sense, so, yeah!
When she said she had a Pinky sense, I immediately started, like, I actually did jump straight to Spidey sense first time I saw that episode. Because it was kind of weird. I felt like, can you really make that association can you really say that without making that association?
And it doesn't hurt that there was the whole superhero episode as well.
Yeah.
But the other comic, Black and White and Dash All Over, this actually has some motivation behind it. This was my first comic to feature not Pinkie Pie, which means it's my second comic. But
so instead it features Derpy.
More importantly, this is the first of very few comics that I will personally write or make that involve Derpy. Just because, and I go into this in the news post, I enjoy Derpy for who she is, and mm-hmm. who she is far less than what fans make her out to be.
True.
And I enjoy, it just feels like it. The big theme that's going to run through a lot of my comics involving the fandom is that the fans of Friendship is Magic is very much in parallel with some of the things that I see with Star Wars fandom. And
yes.
Pinkie Pie, or not, and Derpy.
Pinkie
Hoods
Pie and
is,
Darth Vader would make a great couple.
Okay.
Derpy to me is Boba Fett.
What? Oh wait, no, I see this. This actually works.
It's like three lines of dialogue. I mean, she appears in the background a few places. She doesn't do anything significant to drive the plot in any real way.
She froze Twilight and Carbonite.
People really love her. I think my research is there are over 60 pieces of merchandise in the We Love Fine shop that predominantly feature Derpy. So it is crazy to me how much people love this character. And I mean, I don't fault them for that. It's just that I don't really feel compelled to make a character something that they are naturally not within the context of the actual show itself.
True. It's like, well, I feel like it's like a, I'm thinking of Freakazoid. There's a couple things in Freakazoid that are like this. There's that kind of weird-looking guy who shows up in almost every episode, and there's the Weenamacator, the Hopping Woman jokes, where it's kind of something where you know it's there, and the whole fun of it is looking for it, and it kind of becomes this thing that transcends its source in a way.
It's fun to have in jokes. Like, I mean, a good comparison would be Phineas and Ferb and the fact that they have the giant floating baby and the...
The entire show is about in jokes.
And the talking zebra and just all the bizarre stuff. I mean, the whole show, like you said, is just one big in joke because of the structure of the show itself.
I mean, I think when you get to a certain point, though, it stops being an in joke because suddenly someone who's never really had a story or more than 10 lines of dialogue is now really popular, and that's not so much an in-joke as it is some kind of odd phenomenon.
Well, true. Derpy's history is actually kind of weird to begin with because she was just started as an incidental character to be in the background, but there was, I guess, a small mistake that they intended to correct in post, or basically... One of her eyes was placed upside down in a scene, but they didn't really care about that because they intended to put a character over top of her. But I think that never happened, or it never got undone, and so fans kind of saw this character and decided that, hey, this character is like a little weird, a little different. Let's attach to her, and then just... She, at this point, by the time season two came, I mean, she had one episode in which she actually had a speaking role, and...
And that spawned the most controversy that will ever surround this show.
I don't think that's true.
Let's pray it's the only controversy. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the thing. They will not use Derpy's name in anything they ever release. Even the trading cards, I don't believe, have... Like the promo ones. That you can get. I don't believe they say Derpy Hooves on them.
They say Derpy.
Really?
Yeah, Rainbow Calls
by
name.
I think Derpy would be the only potentially offensive thing about the character at all.
Because whenever they're hanging the banner, she yells at her.
Here's the thing, though, Reef. You watched the unedited version.
Oh, snap.
This is the controversy Ela was talking about. After they released that, there were parents who wrote in or called in and complained about the word Derpy. I personally have never heard that used as any sort of slur against disabled or...
Well, they also... The other kind of complaint was that Derpy's original... The voice that Derpy was using kind of suggested like a mentally handicapped person.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that sort of, but I don't know. I mean, it's not like... I always thought that Derpy was just kind of cross-eyed.
And that's what most people would think, but the problem is that's what, unfortunately, parents are parents, and...
Oh, I hate parents so much.
And six-year-old girls are six-year-old girls. Yeah, this show would be great if it wasn't for all the six-year-old girls.
But, I mean, I still enjoy the character, like I said. It's just, you will not see me, thus far, ever writing any dialogue for her, because there's really nothing for her to say, because in general, I would say the most personality she was ever given is just whenever she does maybe two silly things throughout the show.
Like most breaking through the ceiling.
Like breaking through the ceiling and wearing trash bags, but I'm not sure. I'm sure there are references to... Her, Elam, you might know this better to me. When exactly was she a mail carrier?
I don't remember her being a mail carrier. I have heard rumors that she's actually going to get, like, a little bit more attention in season three, though.
I hope not too much. And I think the whole muffin obsession thing comes just from her first appearance as the character who says, muffins in the Applejack Tired episode. But I don't know. To me, that doesn't seem like it's worth it enough to make that what she's about. I don't know. I just don't have that strong affinity for her as a character beyond the fact that she is in the show and therefore has more value as a character than 90% of the toys that Hasbro puts out right now.
Like Ice Fire or whatever.
I feel like she is significant because she represents how much sway the fan base has like, or no, not how much sway, but how much the creators appreciate their, the creators of the show are appreciating the fan base. The only reason that Derpy even stuck around was because the fan base, like, took a liking to her.
Yeah, I mean, they're more in tune with, like, the internets.
Mm-hmm. To internet.
Hey, I mean, that's what really kept the show as strong as it is right now. I mean...
Yeah.
You're the man now, dog.
Mm. Yes.
That's not what helped it, I hope.
Let's hope not.
So, as we discussed in the beginning of the show, I am Jake Sakidna. I am also the host of The Spin Dash, a Sonic the Hedgehog podcast. We are just releasing an episode where we discuss Nights into Dreams, one of the, I think, the only episode in which, Reef, you are not on.
Yeah, except for there was one mini-sode that we recorded, like, Act 20.3, that it was only you. And only one I've never been in.
Shiggs was able to sit in with us. He will be recognized as the writer for Sonic Eggs, another one of Emerald Coast Comics' wonderful comic series. Ela, where can people find you online?
I'm Ela, and you can find me at ela.bandcamp.com making fun music, and I think there's a link on my Bandcamp page that links to my SoundCloud, which is my other major outlet right now, and I should be releasing some much better new music pretty soon. We shall see, though.
I'm not sure if you recognize this, but the significance of Ela is that he actually produced our closing song.
I did?
You did? Yeah.
I did?
Wonderful. I commissioned you for a song, and I decided, hey, why just use it once whenever we can abuse it to no end?
Absolutely.
We should make him do the theme song for the Spin Dash if you never want to make a new one again.
Actually, you know what? I was planning to do this tonight, but so I'm gonna do it right now. She's an evil enchantress, and she does evil dances. If you look deep in her eyes, she will put you in trance.
Thank you very much, Ela. I will put that under consideration.
I'll be up in a big tasty stew.
Thank you very much for your contribution.
Watch out.
Yes.
You're trying to shut him up, you mean, mean person.
Very, very much so. Reef, can people find you on places online?
Yes, I frequent the Spin Dash forums, as a matter of fact. I usually try to check them at least once per day. I also have, if anyone cares, a blog that documents our Formula D season, which is at formuladwc.wordpress.com.
Spiffy, and once again, you can read a new Horsepower comic every week at horsepower.emeraldcoastcomics.net.
You sure can, and I certainly will.
And with that, I think we're going to close things off with a trail mix this
week. Unless you can't read.
And celebrating Disney's acquisition of LucasArts, as well as my earlier comparison. I have chosen for our song this week, Bad Bad Boba Fett, a parody by The Great Luke Ski. You can listen to his music over at www.thegreatlukeski.com. or thefump.com. This particular song is from his album of his Greatest Hits Volume 1. So,
awesome.
I enjoy it, and it's very Star Warsy. So, yes.
Luke Ski is pretty cool. I didn't play Cards Against Humanity with him, though.
He's a radical dude.
Did you happen to play Cards Against Humanity with Shoebox? Because I can imagine that would be a...
No, it was actually Devo Spice is who I played with, but I wish Shoebox now. Oh, next time.
I wish.
The thing is, that game is Shoebox. Shoebox is the living incarnation of that game.
It is. It really is.
But otherwise, hey, I'm GX Echidna.
I am Evil Dr. Reef.
I'm Ela.
And this is Horsepower Comics, riding off into the sunset.
Peace out. Man.
Greater than the man Darth Vader, and his empire was here to stay. Now Vader needed some help. You see, he's searching for his long-lost son. In the whole empire, found the man he'd hire. Jabba's number one hired gun. He was bad, bad Boba Fett. The best bounty hunter you ever met. He ransomed off poor old Han. Help, help me, Obi-Wan. Now Boba, tell the Falcon to the Cloud City with ease. And then just like fate, Boba had Luke's bait, so they threw Han in the carbon freeze. He's got a jetpack, armor and rifle. He's got Slave One to help him start. He's got websites to scan, he's got millions of fans. He's got four lines of dialogue. He was bad, bad Boba Fett. The best bounty hunter you ever met. He ransomed off poor old Han. Help, help me, Obi-Wan. Well, Boba got paid Han's bounty, cause Jabba set a hefty price. And at the edge of the lair sat a slave named Leia. And oh, that girl looks nice. Then when Luke came to the rescue, Jabba threw a fit. Boba Fett and his henchmen led a quick apprehension and took them to the Sarlacc pit. He was bad, bad Boba Fett. The best bounty hunter you ever met. He ransomed off poor old Han. Help, help me, Obi-Wan. Well, when Boba, he flew over to fight Han during Luke's attack. He took a whack in the back, flew off track, he went smack, and then he ended up a Sarlacc snack. He was bad, bad Boba Fett. The best bounty hunter you ever met. He ransomed off poor old Han. Help, help me, Obi-Wan. You ever met. He ransomed off poor old Han. Help, help me, Obi-Wan. I hope to see him back in chapter one. If not,